Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
This is a quorum. Oh, we started off with a Christmas song last week. How about this one? Where are you, farmer? Why can't we find you? Why have you gone away? Yeah, should I keep going?
No.
Are you in Pittsburgh? Are you in Charlotte? No. Sam Farmer joins us, everybody.
Woo!
Oh, that's great.
He's real. He really does exist.
I gotta tell you guys.
Yes, Virginia, there really is a Sam Farmer.
I thought for a second that I just made this guy up in my mind. He was like my little fantasy football friend.
As we've learned, this could easily be robot Sam Farmer. We don't know.
I do feel hurt, and I wanted to bring this up. You guys are giving me the wrong Zoom address this whole time.
Right. Oh, that's okay.
I just stumbled upon this one.
Every week, some Saturday or Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Sam is logging on.
Just clicking on a link. Never gets
just,
let in.
Just sit there by himself going, why? Why?
We're knowing this podcast, that doesn't sound inaccurate. So that's very possible.
We were the Lucy pulling away the football every single week. And he was Charlie Brown.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. We got a real song we got to start out with here, folks.
Remember the words?
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in. Tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends. You're asking if he knows the words, Josh. You haven't sung the right ones once.
Why start now?
In 4 years. Oh, God. What's your name again? Larry Morgan.
It's Morgan. Yeah.
Also, that old guy over there, that Yinz. Josh J. Fligger is joining us. Larry and Josh are joined by Sam Farmer, and I am Andy Chanley. This is the penultimate episode of this podcast. Is there a dry eye?
No.
All of me is dry.
I just want to state that first off, remember, well, let's just get this out into the open, that when we had decided to record this, I was able to do it, right? And then something happened where I was supposed to have my vent work on all my duct work replaced, and they were supposed, and the access to that was like right over my shoulder. And so I was going to bail because I'm like, I can't record this. And then these guys are all like, no, you
that
have
was
to.
Was unacceptable. Yes, unacceptable.
Yes. I was the,
unacceptable
I was
and
the
irresponsible. We
not-
expect that sort of behavior from Sam Farmer, but not from
exactly.
You.
Don't try to steal my act.
So they talked me into just recording this show with all this chaos going on behind me. Well, they called at 7:40. Mind you, they were going to be here at 8. They called at 7:45 and canceled till Monday. So that's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun work day. I'm going to move everything down to my dining room table.
See, that just goes to show you, 90% of the shit we worry about never comes to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, although I think Andy's a little bit disappointed because there was you could read the glee in his text for wanting there to be a cacophony of, you know, banging and noise and dogs barking and people cursing at each other.
I'm sitting there trying to decipher what kind of, because I could choose which chaos. I couldn't have both of them. I could either choose the chaos of these guys going up and down a ladder and just, you know, just drills going and who knows what stuff's going to be going on up there. Or I could lock myself away and just go with the constant yipping of a small dog that is just incessant and just does not stop. So I was like, I think I was going to lean towards the dog and just see, I was just going to watch you guys and see how crazy it made you to constantly just hear a dog yipping in the background the whole time.
I think Andy's disappointed that he didn't have the workman behind you because he was probably either A, going to constantly ask them what tools they're using, or B, try and tell them how to do it better,
right?
Because
one
he's
of those,
that guy.
One of those two. Exactly. Or as Larry pointed out, you could just use your cough button. Oh, never mind.
That's right.
Damn it.
No, here's where I learned this trick. It was 1995. I was doing a morning show in Indianapolis on this alternative music station, and somebody came to me and said, hey, Kiss are putting the makeup back on and going out on tour. Would you like to have Gene Simmons in the studio? I'm like, yes. Are you kidding me? And what day? They said, on this Friday. And I said, oh, no, I've got a sex therapist coming in. I'm booked. Wait. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, I do. Have him show up. And so it was a sex therapy call-in show with this licensed therapist and Gene Simmons answering people's questions. It was glorious.
He is beautiful.
The idea of having there be just incessant interruptions behind Josh was descended glorious to me.
I just have one question about that. Who knew more about the topic? Gene or the sex therapist?
Well, by experience?
Well, I would imagine he was able to tell her a few things.
Yeah, he's been around the block.
Was he good with it? He rolled with it. He was excellent.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
That's great.
They're still seeing each other.
made a match. Sam Farmer, I don't know when the last time we've had you on the program. What is it? It's probably been, I don't know, 9 months or something? In that.
It was right around the beginning of football, I think.
Tell us everything that's happened between then and now.
We have invoked your name many times. We've actually tried, similar to Beetlejuice, to try and manifest you here. So this is really a momentous occasion. We're so happy to see your face.
No, it's great to see you guys. So obviously, getting to the end of the NFL season here, and it's been a good year. I've got a son who's in college at Arizona State and a daughter who's at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. So we've gotten to both places, and I'm doing some traveling. I was just in Arizona for the Rams, and I'm gearing up for the Super Bowl in LA, which I'm really looking forward to.
We've seen you've done some other traveling too. We've seen your Instagram feed. Was it Costa Rica you went?
Oh yeah, went down to Costa Rica this summer, and that was I went down there with a friend from high school, George Payton, who went on to, he's now the general manager of the Broncos. So he this was his time right before the start of the season and all the craziness. So he was making a lot of calls. I thought at the time they were going to get Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, if you have Peyton anywhere in your name, first or last, that's pretty much baked in the cake. You're going to be in the NFL somehow. Right.
Exactly. Peyton Hillis.
Sean Peyton. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Walter Peyton, Peyton Manning. Oh, yeah. If you got a Peyton
that's,
in there,
that's
you're.
That's really good. You're right.
You got your hand stamped. Yeah.
Gary Peyton.
Gary Peyton. Oh, well. And we, so I had a good time down there. I'm trying to think of where else I've gone. A lot of, fun stories. But went to Manning Passing Academy. Did we talk about that? Going to the Manning Passing Academy? I took my son there. So. And yeah. he worked.
You haven't been on the show for 9 months. We haven't talked about anything. So. just go ahead. You don't have to ask what we talked about. Just go
you
ahead.
Tell us a story. We will have not heard it.
The Hall of Fame stuff and seeing Peyton get in there. And I did go to his party afterwards, which was really fun and just a great, really cool collection of people. Andy, I really wish you were there because it was every Colts lineman who ever blocked for him made the trip to Canton to come to that party. And lots of old Colts, lots of, John Lynch and Bruce Arians came and Tom Brady came up. And it was really a neat, neat event. And I wish I had all of you guys there because it would have really been fun to.
No, that's not true. Because it's clear to us from your Instagram feed and your absence that you have reached a higher class of artificial friends. Right. You have moved on to a new level. And it's impressive. And we're jealous.
He doesn't come on this side of the tracks anymore.
Now you guys are making me blush. That's not true at all. No. So it's so great to
see you. You've been hanging with some cool people. I mean, it's not just, you reporting. You're actually kind of in the mix of hanging out and getting to know some of these folks.
Yeah, it's funny. The stuff sloughs away. The whole, facade or everything slips away. And when it's just guys talking, it's and sharing stories and hearing funny stories, it's really, they're some neat folks and people you'd just like to hang with. And I put Peyton in that group. I think he's one of those guys. And so
I was going to say, who are you most just kind of impressed with or like connecting with as just a guy that you like hanging out with?
Is it Peyton? Philip Rivers. I went down to Alabama and he's a high school football coach now. And to see him connect with his players, and he's just a normal guy. You know, the Colts wanted him back for a while when Carson Wentz was hurt, and then the Saints wanted him. He thought about going to the Saints because in Alabama, he's only 2 hours, from New Orleans there. It's really Saints country. But he said, you know, college football is king down there. So he said, if I were Mac Jones, I'd be swarmed. But he said, it's almost like if you're in the NFL, you know, it's almost like.
He went to the old people's league.
What's that?
You went to the old people's league. They look at the NFL as like the old people's league because college football is king.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's sort of ancillary interest in that. But it was funny, Josh, I was talking to Todd Haley. Yesterday, you guys remember Todd Haley, the old coach of the Chiefs, and his dad, Dick Haley, was the Steelers player personnel director during their heyday in the 70s and 80s, and he assembled all those great Steelers teams. And Todd was telling me about just the funniest stories about being a ball boy on those Steelers teams. Oh, and I was thinking about you and just how, you know, he would with Terry Bradshaw, you know, it was Todd's job to make sure that he always had cases of Red Man in the back of his red convertible Cadillac. You know,
I was going to say the amount of Budweiser that was drank in the locker rooms and just stuff like that that you don't see these
days. And he said, like, Jack Lambert. I was asking, you know, about Mean Joe Green and Lynn Swann, John Stallworth. And he said, Jack Lambert was my hero. But he said, and of course, Jack Landert, this ferocious linebacker.
Yeah.
He said he would, my dog is whining outside the door and saying, but he said, if like guys were playing catch, he'd be in his locker in a jock strap, turned away from the guys. And if a ball rolled near him, no one would go to pick it up. They were, you know, guys on the team were so afraid of him that he, like, literally would not go walk over and scoop up the ball and continue.
He's a nightmare. I've heard he's a game warden. I don't know if he still is, but he's a game warden in Western Pennsylvania.
Oh, literally?
Yeah. There's still stories going on.
That's not a title he's been given. The game warden.
By the way, the Sandlot. You know, when the ball went over the fence and they were like, and that's it.
One of my favorite things is I think it was one of the playoff games that they lost in the 70s. It might have been like their best team. And I think they were playing. It was either, I don't know if it was the AFC Championship, but it was the usual Raiders Steelers games. It was one of the ones where I think the field had turned ice and the Steelers had lost all three of their running backs. They literally had no running game. They didn't have a running back anymore. And I think they lost by a couple points or something like that. And Jack Lambert went into the locker room, and he's like standing there in just a t-shirt, and the press comes up and asks him, like, you know, how he felt about, you know, the game or something like that. And he's like, "You let me drink a couple beers, I'll go out there and play him again right now." He was so pissed about losing. He's like, "You give me a couple Budweiser, we'll go out and play again. I don't care. We'll beat him this time." He was so pissed.
My brother and I were Steeler fans when we were young, before I grew up and, you know, realized what horrible people Steelers fans were. And he had a poster from Sports Illustrated, you know, I don't know, from like 1978 or something, that was up on his wall. And the pull quote on there was, "Dear Jack Lambert, I just love the way you kill people." It was a letter from a fan.
Yeah. 70s football. We'll never get that again.
I know.
Right?
I know. Oh, man, the violence. That was also an era, probably in Pittsburgh, where a nude potbelly guy in the shower was part of the team. Yeah. That was a regular occurrence.
And even like the linemen and the running backs had the punter's helmet, you know, with one bar going around.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The lineman had that, like, little bull U thing on his forehead and then just the quarterback's face mask. And that was, like, the center.
Yeah, oh, my God. You used to get those little helmets. Remember the little football helmets you get in there?
Yes, in the gumball machines?
You could peel the face mask off. They had, like, two little – yeah, and in the gumball machines, yeah.
Yep. That's everybody loved those things.
Yeah.
Fellas – I just wanted to share this with you as we're winding this down. And again, this is the second to last episode I got my cat dad.
You mean before the big 250?
Before the big extravaganza. Right. 250, and we start the next 250. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus drinking Christ. Out of my cat dad mug. Oh, and by the way, remind me in just a second. I got a little something to show you, Sam Farmer. But Lara... This is the sign of the fourth horseman of the apocalypse. Lara, my wife, has started listening occasionally to the podcast as we're winding down.
Oh, she's not going back and picking up catching up.
No,
okay.
No, heavens no. But
because you've said some things.
I have.
You have said some things.
She better not go back and listen to some of
that. Hey, go back and find Andy's impression of the way you talk.
Yeah, that's some of my favorites.
She knows that's a caricature. What was great is this morning. Okay, so we sleep in. On Saturdays, if it's possible, you know, because I have to get up at 5 o'clock every morning. So if I can sleep in a little bit on a Saturday, it's great. And the kids are not allowed any screen time through the school week. So on Saturday and Sunday, they get to get up and watch, you know, some cartoons or something, some TV shows. Yeah, some Blippi. Yeah. Now you just pissed me off with the Blippi.
It's just those two syllables. That's all I said.
So the kids get up and they're in the other room. They're watching TV. My alarm goes off at 8 o'clock. I'm like, I got to get up and I got to, you know, get things going. Got to wake up for this podcast. And I get up and I'm walking to the bathroom and Lara is awake and she's looking at her phone. She sets it down and she opens her arms like to give me a hug. She goes, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Go over to give her a hug." I said, "Well, I got to get ready. We're doing a podcast today, and Sam's joining us. It's going to be a lot of fun." And she's hugging me and she said, "You know, I think you give the cats a bad rap." I'm like, "What?"
Uh oh.
And she goes, "Well, I listened and I heard that." I'm like, "You've been listening?" She said, "Yeah, you give the cats a bad rap. I mean, they're not that bad."
Did you go, "I don't see you with a mug that says Cat Mommy, do you? You don't have one of those, do you?" And then you hold up your Cat Daddy mug and walk away.
I did actually pour her some coffee in a mug with that cats on it.
But
I swear to God, not a complete second after she finishes saying they get a bad rap, Silas yells from the living room, "Mom, I think Tuxie's peeing." it was amazing. And she goes in there and she hears me back and I'm still back in the bathroom brushing my teeth and I'm cackling. I'm laughing the hardest I've ever laughed. And I walk out there. She's like, "Now you're going to tell that story, aren't you?" Like, yes, you bet I am. Yes. Absolutely. But it's bittersweet to be winding this down. We had a lot of people reach out. And honestly, we've got to get to some of the calls and some of the emails. I'm sure a few of those have come in, Larry, but it's, you know, the love that's come out of the woodwork. I feel like, you know, it's like when someone dies, we're like Tom Sawyer getting to go to our funeral because we're finding out a couple of people actually gave a shit about this.
Well, that's the thing. We were distinctly under the impression that what we were doing was completely for ourselves, that this was a entirely masturbatory exercise in podcasting every week.
Ring the bell on that, and that will be our next t-shirt, by the way.
That's right. That it was basically just a circle jerk of these guys sitting here, making each other laugh a little bit. Turns out people were actually relying on this to lift them up a little bit. And I think it has done for them what it did for us, which was during, as we have said before, during this past, you know, almost 2 years now, it has been a great outlet for us to get to connect with people that we can tolerate.
Hold on just a second. I got a message. One text says there was a fire smoke alarm in our house, and the other one says from Laura, you got to come in now. Hold, please.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
That's always good.
Boy. It's Andy that's creating the chaos today.
Yeah. It's been more than 2 years.
Is it March just of pandemic?
March of 2020.
I literally almost said March of 1999. That's what it feels like.
March of 19.
No, it was March of 2020.
Yeah, because January will be 2022. So yeah, March of 2020. That's crazy.
Think about like Rick Springfield.
Well, we only had one Christmas in the pandemic.
The shutdown
right?
was March of 2020.
The shutdown. I thought you were talking about the show.
Believe it or not, Sam, we're freaking 4 years in on this damn thing.
Wow. 4 years.
I know.
This is my fourth episode.
No, you had a much better attendance record early on, better than mine. I've just made up for it.
This feels like college because I always started strong in college. I went to all my classes the first couple of weeks.
I was gonna say it feels like the first week of school. You're like, this is the year I'm doing all my homework and I'm getting straight A's.
Exactly.
And then by week two, you're just laying on the couch. You're not watching. You're not doing anything.
And every 1 month into every semester of college, I was having those dreams of walking into finals of classes I didn't even know I was. You know, I still have those. You know, you walk in and you're taking a final and you haven't gone to the class.
Yeah, you haven't missed it. Oh yeah, I still have that dream.
Oh my God, I was saying. I know my attendance.
I did that in real life, Sam. I had an American history class at USC that I attended one lecture, and it was so basic. And I am not that smart, but I was just like, oh, I never need to come to this class, and I got a B.
I was going to say, how'd you do?
I got a B. I attended one lecture, one lab, took all the tests. It was just, it doesn't speak well for USC, at least in the mid-80s.
Did I tell you about my I probably did.
Hold on, Andy has to say, and we're back.
Oh, and we're back.
Then we never really leave.
The fire alarm went off 3 times, and she has no idea why. But hopefully,
I was going to say, Cat is up there probably pushing the button and running away.
Yeah. Hopefully, she successfully canceled that, and the fire department, LA's bravest, will not be at my doorstep anytime soon. Hope. Here's hoping.
Did I ever tell you about my Spanish class in high school? So my Spanish class, just real quick, I'd taken French. We lived in Boulder, and so they had French that started in 7th and 8th grade. So I took it 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and then I had sort of timed out in 11th because in California they only had 4 years of language. I still can't construct a sentence in French, but I did take 4 years of it. And my junior and senior year, just to fill in classes, I took Spanish. So I took Spanish 1 my junior year, and I kind of liked that. I did okay. And Spanish 2, but in my senior year, the class was really impacted. And my Japanese Spanish teacher, Senior Takame, said, hey, you don't have to come to class. He said, you just write a book report. Write a book report in Spanish, and we'll give you a grade. So the first book report I did, I got the video for Casino Royale. Like I could read an Ian Fleming book in Spanish too. I got it. And I wrote out a little report, and a buddy of mine translated it into Spanish for $5. And I gave it, and I turned it in, and I got an A for the quarter. So I was riding pretty high. Second quarter, but it was worth it. Second quarter, I got a low grade notice because I hadn't come in and told him about my book. So I went on the offensive. I went to the Glendale Library into the foreign book section. I got a book and I brought it in after class and I said, "Senior, take it, man. I can't believe you gave me a low grade notice. I've been working on this the whole quarter. I'm almost done with it." I put my finger 3/4 deep into the book. He said, "Let me look at it." And he looked at it and he said, "This is in Italian." I don't even know. Everything went blank after that. I don't even remember what I said or how I explicated myself. So I was able to read Ian Fleming. First quarter, second quarter, I can't tell if a book's in Spanish or Italian.
Oh my God. Have you been to France?
I have.
And were you able to comfortably converse with people?
Oh, of course not.
All you knew how to say was, "I live on a street with a tree."
Did you see the Cooper Kupp interview recently where the woman said, she said, "It looked like on that touchdown, they blitzed." And he said, "Oh yeah, it was a 3-deep fire zone blitz and they dropped out the safety. And I noticed that the third guy wasn't coming over and I cut off my route." And he gave this super deep answer that was hilarious, but in that it was so precise and he didn't hesitate. And it reminded me of being in France. And I'd say, "Où est le la hypermarché, the supermarket or whatever." And then I was so proud of myself for getting that sentence out. And then I couldn't understand a word about where is the super, you know, like out came a string of directions that I didn't, that were completely.
Yeah, I felt when I was over there, I found that just don't even try to speak French, because then if you even make that little bit, they're going to try to speak French back. And I'm like, well, this is just pointless, because now you're just going blah, 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 blah.
But the other side of that is if you go there, though, and you're just the ugly American, and it's like, "Hey, you speak English?"
Hey, guess then, what?
They're going to spit in your food. But if you make a slight effort to, you know, je ne parle pas, you know, at least you try. Then, yeah, then they're
really like they really like stuttering Americans. They're not going to spit in their food. Then they're going to be like, "Oh, this guy's a good guy because he said we." Okay.
I don't know. We went. It's been like 20 years since we've gone. But when we went, we found that like in Paris, so many people spoke English. They actually liked conversing in English because they would grill us about living in Los Angeles. But when we went out in the countryside, you tried, if you asked if they spoke English or if you tried French, they glared at you either way. It was like, "Dirty Americans," and then, you know, put a bowl of tripe in front of you and say it's something.
Yeah, there's me ordering like some fancy French dish wearing a Dukes of Hazzard t-shirt. They wonder if I'm the ugly American or not.
Fellas, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 calls.
Oh my goodness.
We got to start pounding through these or we're just not going to get to them in this episode.
And we should probably just reiterate, you can call and leave a message now and forever, but we are not going to be able to get them.
This is your last chance to call in and get your message through.
This is by the time you hear this.
Yeah. In the next, that's true. By the time they hear this, we may have even done the last episode. Who knows?
By the time they hear this, we will be fast approaching Ham Week 2021.
Ham week. By the way, Lara bought it's not a tofurkey. It is what tofurkey is to turkey, this is to ham. It's a ham. Tofammy?
Oh man, I hate it. When I pulled my toe hammy once. It's so painful.
It's hard to rehab from that. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started on these. By the way, the phone number is 626.
Again, why are you giving it out?
That's true. People can call it.
One last time. We don't have to do it the last time, though.
626-657-6428. Or amok, PM hat.
There you go.
Don't let me forget, Sam, I've got something for you, because there is still the yaffcrap.com website where people, believe it or not, a couple of people in this last week have purchased their own Your Artificial Friends mug.
Well, it's a limited edition item now. It's going to be worth, well, about the same that you paid for it.
Probably. It's going to be worth one of those cups filled with lukewarm spit is what it's going to be worth. By the time this is done. All right.
It's making me sick.
So
you didn't even try to do that. So a yaff crap mug filled with warm spit.
There it is.
He didn't say warm. He said lukewarm, Josh. Lukewarm.
That's what it is. It was the lukewarm that did it. Okay, for anybody, Josh is too far off mic, so if it's okay, Andy, I'll go ahead and play this.
Yeah, my mind just pictures it, and then
hey, Josh,
it's frothy, right?
Josh, have a look at this.
We lost it again.
I just took a sip out of my mug. That's all.
Good times. Good times.
Oh, I just want a normal morning. I just want. I just want to leave this show without a queasy stomach once.
That is so rude, Larry. Josh has never made anybody sick with a
for anyone.
By the way, we had a request to isolate the some of the sounds that we've isolated, as well as the low energy mic theme song. And by the time this episode airs and people are listening, there will be a SoundCloud Your Artificial Friends page posted on our Facebook page, where you can go and listen to all these delightful sounds.
Fantastic.
Literally a gag reel. Yeah. Hey, see what I did? I made a funny on the show, finally. Yeah.
Nice. Nicely played. All right, let's get to some of these phone calls. We'll start with this one here. Oh, it's from the 310 area code.
Hey, guys. Tom from South Bay. I'm out here in Rosamond this morning, and I thought I might give you some truck horn out in Rosamond so you can hear what it sounds like out here. Yeah. Before I do that, the reason why I go to these places like Rosamond and Camarillo and most of the places I go, a lot of the places I go are utility type projects. Out here, they've got solar panels, and they've also got air farms or wind farms with turbines and such. Anyway, when I left this morning at 4:30 in the morning, I put on some Lindsey Buckingham, and I've been going deep on Lindsey Buckingham into his catalog for almost 3 hours now. Let's see. Actually, 3 hours and 15 minutes. I'm getting ready to change Lindsay to something else, but it has been enjoyable. Anyway, truck horn, Rosamond. Nice. See you there.
All right.
See you there.
So how many of the other seven calls are just Ty going through different cities blowing his horn?
Two.
The greatest thing about that call is it came in at 4:35 a.m.
Yeah. We got to get right to it. Let's see what community he finds himself in here. I don't know.
Hey guys, Paul from SoCal. Hey, you know, in response to the request that Larry made there at the last episode about an air horn coming out of anus. I did talk to my dispatch team, and I have told them that if anything is going into or coming out of anus, I will take it for you guys. Not on a normal basis, but for you guys. I will go to anus and let you hear some air horn out of anus. But this is from San Diego.
Some people consider the anus of Southern California.
I
I genuinely don't remember ever saying the word anus. Did I?
I don't know, but that was so great. The best part is he sold us that it was going to happen, the horn was going to happen in anus, and then he's like, but anyway, this is from San Diego. Yeah.
For this next one, Larry, we'll need a little bit of accompaniment.
Low energy bite.
Hey, yappers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. I'm of a mixed mind on this podcast shutting down. I'm going to miss the occasional shed talk and the other goofy shit you guys find to talk about. On the other hand, I won't have to keep trying to come up with new stuff to drone on about. I mean, there's only so much you can talk about French drains and stacking boulders. Well, I promised you the funeral march, so here goes.
I have to tell you, I just thought of a great band name. Harmonica Death March.
It sounds to me like L.E.M. got a little choked up there.
He did.
Unless he was just out of gas from blowing and sucking.
Wait, go ahead.
Close.
That was low energy, Mike. That was low energy, Mike.
Yeah, if it sounded like it got him right here, just a little bit.
Might have been. Yeah.
Harmonica Death March is a great band name.
I think you're missing the poignancy of the moment, Andy.
Oh, right.
Try and, you know, let it settle in a little bit before your wacky, witty remarks come flying out.
But at Coachella in April, we're going to go to the experimental stage and see Harmonica Death March.
I think actually they're open for a Dirt Circus, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know where this is. This is the 707 area. Oh, I know who this is. We know who this is. Let's move on to this one.
Yo, guys, it's Trucker Joe. I had to call again because I just listened to your show, and that dude, Dave, on the guitar, that was fucking hilarious. And, man, he nailed his Neil Young impersonation there. Anyways, I also wanted to say thank you for the entertainment to Low Energy Mike for all of the phone calls through the years. That guy, I can tell you one thing. I have no idea who Mike is, but he is the man wherever he lives. Aww. He's the guy that people call because he is the best at what he does. You can just tell. I have someone that's in construction. Anyways, and as far as the guy from South Bay, I guess flattery is the flattery is the most sincere form. That isn't right. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Anyway,
there it is,
guys. We love you guys. We're gonna miss you guys. Take care. Bye bye. Trucker Joe signing off.
Oh man, nice.
Trucker Joe just came up to his last plate appearance and just jerked one deep into left field. It's out.
Yeah,
of
he
here.
Did. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
It's important to note something here. The people that call into this line are very brave because you don't get a second chance at a phone message, right? At a voicemail message. You don't get a second try. Just go watch the movie Swingers and you know what I'm talking about. You don't get to take them back.
Nope.
You know, if you send a Gmail message, and it gives you that thing at the bottom of the corner. Are you sure you want to take it back? You want to stop it? And you can hit that button and not send that email and fix something. You right. can't do that. Once you send these, they're on their way to Mars.
Well, not to mention, even if somebody tried to call back with a do-over, you never screen these calls.
I don't screen them.
Yeah. So they're going to run no matter what. So it's warts and all. I mean, this is the warts and all podcast for sure.
Just for a second, that's the thing I always admired about radio guys, because you say it and it's out there. I mean, as a newspaper reporter, we at least have time to edit it, look it over, correct the grammar or whatever. And just real quick, anything come to mind that you said over the air that you were trying to pull those words back?
Well, I remember the time that I said on Facebook Live
I was gonna say
that Mark knew this. That Mark Thompson was leaving the station, and I didn't know that somebody had an iPad running in the studio.
Yes, Mike.
And it had not been announced yet.
No, yeah. Well, I was pulling Aaron out, because he had come in. It was my birthday. My family was there. And all of this stuff was going on, and people were starting to talk about what was going to happen and so forth. And I just felt bad because he had been such a champion of all the things we were doing. And so I'm like, you know what, Dave? I pull him aside. I know he'll keep the secret. And Dave's like, I don't know. I don't know about that. And I'm like, I'm sure he's not going to tell anybody. It's like, okay, all right, fine. So I pull him aside. I take him in the studio. I'm like, hey, I just wanted you to know what's going to go on in the weeks to come, because it's not fair for you to be on the outside of this while all of this is swirling around. And I say all of this shit, and I look over, and I see the iPad on the desk. I'm like, is that fucking thing on?
And there's like comments.
Yeah.
It's like people cop. Yeah, it's like
in real time.
Oh my God, what did he just say?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What does he call them? The stupid replaceable listeners? They were all lined up there.
No,
it's not true. Yeah, it was really nice. It was something fun to be a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So all of the what's
I've never regretted a thing I've said. I do have a very distinct memory, just because it sent a chill through me, because I was very young. I had just been hired at Kiss FM. I was 21 years old. And so every night was just like crazy to me that I was there. But it was also, it felt very heavy. And that station was at the time was being listened to by like everybody. And it was just a slip of the tongue. But I was reading off a liner card about some like comedian contest, like funniest person in America contest that we were hosting and sponsoring, or Rick Dees was going to be there or something. And I said Century Shitty Sopping Center. It's taking place at Century Shitty Shopping Center. And it's the first time clearly that wasn't like me getting caught on mic. It was just a slip of the tongue, but it was just shitty. It was so
were you aware that you said it, or did somebody have to be like,
in the moment? Okay. Absolutely. And then I was so focused on it that when I tried to make up for it, I did it again. The only other thing I can think of is, and this is a minor thing, but these days especially, I'm tracking a good portion of my show in the latter part of the night. So I was on the air on Monday watching Rams Cardinals and just trying to, at least sound like I was in the, actually paying attention and timely. And I always like to try and do something on the air that proves I'm physically there until I'm not. And I tracked my last break before I left, and it was a longer break that ran around like 8:40 or something like that, or 7:40, I don't know. And I said, the Rams are really depleted by, COVID issues and injuries, and they're playing away in Arizona tonight, but it looks like they got things in hand. They're up by a couple of touchdowns. And I walk home, and in 5 minutes, the Cardinals had gotten the ball back, had scored, and were threatening again to tie the game before that break ran. And it just bugged me. It wasn't a big deal, but it was one of those things where, of course, the trolls would have just pounded me. And turns out nobody listens, nobody cares. So it was fine. I think I was off by a touchdown when it ran. But otherwise, I stand by every damn thing I've ever said. Period.
I remember one time when we remember when you used to track in the afternoon, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first weekend,
you mean when I did them live every day?
When that first weekend that we put that system in, what they did is there was like an automation process that went through all of our songs, right? And it added a cue onto it, so the automation would know that this is where the next song slash voice track would go. You know, it'd basically mm-hmm. be like an end cue. Well, it didn't do it very accurately on some songs like Stairway to Heaven because there's that long break. Hey, well, I was in the studio. It was like my very first weekend doing board op for this voice track thing. And Andy is, you know, the jock that's on air, and we play Stairway to Heaven. And then as soon as the song not ends, but as soon as the music ends, before Robert Plant sings that last line, Andy comes on. He's like, "And that was Stairway to Heaven." And then Robert Plant, and they're just both talking over top of each other. And it was maybe 30 seconds before our Facebook page was like, "Good job, Andy Chanley. Way to walk all over Stairway to Heaven. You've never heard that song before."
It was just,
I felt so bad for him because he had it wasn't his fault, but yeah,
it was your fault, I think, because you were the board op.
No, but because that cue was automatically mm-hmm. put in. I didn't know where that cue was. Yeah.
It wasn't your fault, Andy. It was nobody's fault.
I got your cue. Well, that's nice to know. What you just made me think of, though, is my favorite thing, and we've talked about it before, my favorite thing to do, because I would record things not in the main studio, but in the next booth over, the producer's booth. That's where I had it was the newsroom. It's where I had, you know, stuff set up. And I would record my afternoon show, and I would see, you know, I would do the mornings with Uncle Joe Benson doing news then. And then Josh would go in to check on the automation, the log, to make sure that everything was lining up, that the hours were timing out. He was the only one in there. And he'd be, you know, just leaning over the board and, you know, straining to see what was on the screen and trying to do stuff.
Basically copying numbers and trying to make a log correct. So I'm like kind of, you know, like focusing on, okay, this time goes here, this time goes here.
I would press the button down on the intercom and go, watching him jump
100% of the time.
It was like I was taking my fingers and poking him right in the ribs from 20 feet away.
I could stare at him and be like, I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know. And then he'd do it and I'd jump. I mean, it was like every single time. Every day. It was like every day.
It was every day.
I'd go walking in being like, okay, here's the part of the day where I get scared.
I look forward to it. Oh my God. It was a little Christmas every single day.
Well, remember there was one time, remember how you used to record the Rock mm-hmm. History Notebook or something like that?
Video blog, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one time so he would record it with his back to the monitors in the station, but behind those was the newsroom, which had a big glass window. And one time he was recording it and I snuck into the studio behind him, and while he was recording, my head slowly comes up into the picture in the background and is just sitting there staring at the camera for like 35 seconds and then slowly starts to disappear away. He had no idea. He published it. I'm like, yeah, thanks, buddy. There you go.
Well, I had no idea about these times that Josh publicly humiliated me and never bothered to tell me. This is great. This is good to know.
It's all coming out right at the end.
glad of getting to know the real Josh.
Old days.
Yeah, this is nice. All right. We got four more to go here, boys.
Oh, geez.
Gentlemen, this is Richard again from Orange County. No, I hadn't called you for the first 246 episodes, and now I'm making my second phone call. Anyway, I forgot to ask in the last call, how the hell did Low Energy Mike get that entry and exit music? Take care, and have a Merry Christmas.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
Thanks for bringing that up. That actually goes back a ways to, that is my son, Alex Morgan, who was doing his own YouTube channel and putting out a ton of content during the pandemic, because that was his way of finding an outlet when everything else in his life got canceled, basically. And one of his projects was create a jingle from scratch.
Was it during the pandemic though? Because I could have swore we had that. I thought the idea came up before the pandemic. It's just,
well, we talked about it before the pandemic, okay. But he created it while he was just kind of sitting here cranking through all that material, and he turned it into a video project to show his followers.
Oh, that's right.
How he came, and he gave us a choice of three. And we liked two of them so much that we made one the intro, one the outro. Yeah,
that's right.
And that's also going to be on our Facebook page, on our Your Artificial Friends SoundCloud, if you want to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, pretty fantastic.
And by the way, maybe by the time this is released or sometime in the new year, Alex will have a new EP released.
Oh, nice.
So,
cool.
Search for Schmorgel, Schmorgle, wherever you listen to or buy music. Schmorgel.
Mm-hmm. Makes me hungry. That's that word, Schmorgel.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
That's a weird word to make you hungry.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I'm thinking like steak or something like that.
Well, it kind of sounds like smorgasbord. Smorgasbord? Okay. A smorgasbord? No? Really. Okay, all right, good. Ooh, this is
maybe
a
maybe you're just hungry.
Maybe. This one is
Tohimi.
This one's almost 3 minutes long. Let's get going.
Good Lord.
Hi, guys. This is Brent Woodgore in Burlington, Vermont. Just want to say hi and let you know how much you guys mean to me. You'll hopefully bear with me. I'm on a new phone here, so not quite sure if I'm doing this all right. But anyway, I've been listening to you, Andy, since the Mark in the Morning and in the afternoon days. Really enjoyed all of that. And then, of course, the podcast, and I listen on 88.5 as well. You guys have helped me through so much, laughing all the way every week. I haven't missed a show. Last year I went through a separation from my wife of 36 years. We separated for about 6 months. Got back together, and some pretty dark days there. But I got to tell you, you really helped me through it all. I appreciate all you've done. I appreciate your friendships you have with each other, and it's just been a great ride. And when you put your picture on Facebook, Andy, with your hospital band around your wrist, when you talked about the cancer, it really got me. I got to tell you. But you came through like a champ, and I'm very happy for you. And now your son getting through typhus of all things, and just everything. But you guys, you're just so great together. I'm really going to miss this show. Plus the fact I learned how to make a shed and a gate and a curb. Who would have thought? But I'm so grateful for the 4 years that you guys have shared with us mere mortals here. I feel like you're my real friends, not my artificial friends. Oh, nice. Except for Sam, of course. He still feels like an artificial friend. But anywho, I just want to wish you good luck in the future. And wish you hang on 1 minute. Where was that? Oh, yeah. But I just want to wish you really good luck in the future with any future endeavors. I hope we get to hear you. More, of course, I'll hear you, Andy, every night on 88.5. I wish you all a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. And that's it. Take care. Let's see. Press to end call. And there we go. Oh, thank God. What a piece of crap that show was. God, I'm so glad to be done with this. 4 years of my life. I can't believe I've wasted 4 years listening to that.
You're still recording.
Show.
You're still on the.
Oh, shit.
well played. Brent Brudgore. Now I know how to pronounce his last name. He's been a supporter of Mark, and then also listened after I went on Facebook Live on without my knowledge, and then has even been a supporter of 88.5, like sending in donations when we have pledge drives and stuff. So he's he's aces. But yeah, hey Sam, by the way, I had cancer this year.
Yeah, me either.
Sorry. No, I'm giving you a hard time.
You're going to have to do a little better than that. Right.
Yeah, that didn't get you back. We had to end the thing. No, Sam has been wonderful and very supportive.
You like Brent better than you like me. You guys, I could hear it all along. You were wishing Brent was the fourth.
It's too late to Pete best you. Okay, we've got two more. They're short. Let's get into these here real quick to round out the last of the phone calls.
Gentlemen, Todd from SoCal. This is what a truck horn sounds like. And just south of downtown Los Angeles, I can almost see the Coliseum. I can see the LA downtown LA skyline. And there's humanity everywhere, so this will be a quick one, and I got to get rolling.
Yo. Yeah,
I love it. Wonder how many people would just swear to him underneath their breath, like, scared the living shit out of me.
Yeah, that's probably not the neighborhood where you want to attract a lot of attention. All right, one last one. You guys ready? Here we go.
Hello, boys. This is Carla from Thousand Oaks. You three have now ruined Thursday for me and all the yaffers. So happy, merry Christmas to you all. Bye.
Wow.
Well, funny enough, Carla, that's what people said when we started this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Mission complete.
You've run Thursday.
It's come full circle.
And the reference to you three has ruined my Saturday.
Well, look, at least you're not included in the downfall of somebody's whole day.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you didn't ruin Christmas.
I don't know if you heard, but Andy ruined Christmas last week. Yeah. So
that's the second time in as many weeks I've been accused of ruining Christmas. By the way, we get to go to a children's hospital this week and drop off all those toys. I can't wait to do that. That's going to be fantastic. Sam, I know that you're going to be on the road and you probably won't be around for the final episode, or maybe you will.
No, I think I'll make a point of it.
You're scarred by what Carla just said.
I'm responsible. It's not like I don't flake. I love you guys.
So, Sam,
yeah, I'll be there.
If we don't get a chance to talk about it next week, what are the I'm assuming with the Super Bowl coming to Los Angeles, right in your backyard, that you're going to have at least a couple of words to print about it in that newspaper.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna have a Super Bowl series where I look at all seven LA-based games from a different angle and a different perspective of maybe somebody who was there or some story you hadn't read before. I'm gonna do a Super Bowl speaker series that'll be out on Spectrum and the LA Times, all our platforms, talking to some of the greats of the game during Super Bowl week and some of the current and Hall of Fame players and people in and around the game. So I'm really looking forward to that. And of course I'll be at the playoff games and covering games. So, but I can, certainly be it on that final episode and, commit to that now. So,
all right. Love it.
I brought you all into this world. I might as well kick you out.
Well, if that's the case, then Andy, do you want to save your surprise for Sam?
Oh, yes. If we're going to see him in person, in person, then yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Wait a second. Andy's got the guitar. I don't know if are you trying to wrap this up because I wanted to bring up two things real quick.
No, please. I just like to hold it.
Are we going to. Do we have any email? Do we want to do emails, or are we going to save those for like the next show?
I think we've kept people long enough at this point.
Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure we got to some of them before we quit. before we don't do any more shows. So no. I just wanted to just make sure we're going to do some next week or next time then, right?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
And then the other thing, is that an Emmy behind you, Sam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this little thing? Oh, yeah, this thing. Oh, it's just been sitting here.
Yeah, I should take you through the little things.
What did you get an Emmy for?
I'm afraid we're out of time. So.
What did you win an Emmy for?
We'll get to it in a couple episodes. Yeah, see you guys.
Reporting on LA Times TV, just some stories on that. And you know what that is? Master Sand.
Oh.
Master Sand. Now,
what a classy decanter you have to show that around. an empty Sparklets bottle. That really, chef's kiss. The presentation is nice.
I just have a picture of Sam just stopping somewhere in the middle of the course, getting down on his hands and knees, and he's just scooping sand.
I'm picturing that he got there and realized he didn't have anything to put it into, so he just reached down slyly, put a big handful in his pocket, and then walked up, and like the first thing he saw on the ground was an small plastic bottle.
Right? I mean, honestly, God, when you showed it to me, that the bottle of white powder, I'm like, I don't know, is it the ashes of your cat?
Back to the cat. We have been remiss before we wrap this up. When this comes out on Thursday, it will, if you're listening to it on Thursday, this is Christmas Eve, everybody.
Right. Oh, yes. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so, what I'm saying. It's the beginning of Ham Week is upon us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I hope that everybody has a fantastic holiday. And from us to you,
it's a hit. This is a hit.
I want to do more than whistle. How long can a girl just whistle? I want to do more than whistle under the mistletoe.
Yeah.
So good.
By the way, spring in your step for the holidays.
We put up some mistletoe in the entryway to the kitchen right there so that Laura and I will smooch whatever we found. I did some research on mistletoe. Did you know mistletoe is actually a parasitic plant?
Yes.
And
it actually kills the trees that it's attached.
And it digs into them and sucks their life force. Yeah, that's mistletoe.
Is it poisonous?
I don't know if it's poisonous, but I do know that it was thought to promote virility hundreds of years ago because the seeds kind of look like semen.
Okay.
And then they used it in England, like in servants, you know, big houses like Downton Abbey, kind of, you know, downstairs servants. They would hang that, and the way it went was the fable was if you were a woman and got caught underneath that, you needed to allow any man that happened to be there to kiss you, or it was bad luck for you. That's some bullshit that men came up with right there.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
By the way, mistletoe is, in fact, poisonous.
Oh, nice.
All parts of the plant are toxic, so you don't want to... Although, oh, look at this. It says here, it's totally okay for cats to eat.
Oh, yeah.
So, go ahead.
Maybe feed them a little bit. Hey, great to see you, Samuel.
Yes.
Great to see you guys. That did make my day.
It was a lot of fun. How can people get a hold of you if they want to?
sam.farmer@latimes.com is my email, and then on Twitter at LA Times Farmer, and so those two.
All right. And Joshua?
joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
And Larry?
You can find me on the Facebook and the Twitter and on Instagram at the Larry Morgan.
See, I should do the same one for all three. Not a lot of forethought.
I just think this is the last time we ever have to do this.
That's true. It's Andy _Chanley on Twitter. It's DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. Andy Chanley on Instagram.
Hey, Andy, we need to talk privately about maybe firing Josh off this podcast.
Wouldn't that be great if we fire him just before the last episode? Just
let him on the final one.
Just ceremonially. Yeah, you know, just,
we've just had enough.
I'll
man.
Just record my own by myself, just sitting here. Thoughts with Josh. Come with me, people. We're going to keep it alive. Me and Sam Farmer every week.
I'll be there with you every single week, Josh.
That's the irony. Sam would show up every fucking week for Josh's podcast.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasure friends in, tune into this podcast. This one here. Happy Christmas, everybody!
Hey, everybody!
Clink glasses, everyone!
Clink a glass of lukewarm drool.
My. I'm leaving. Yeah. Hey, great to see you again, Sam.
Great to see you, buddy.